Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah to the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord for us.
So good to see each and every one of you here today. You know, this is our fifth Sunday being back together since our relaunch, and how good it has been to be together again. And of course, for those of you who are not yet ready to come back and join us here in person, we're so glad that you can tune in online and still be a part of what God is doing here at MCA. So I want you to know we are discussing next steps as we move forward and in our plans for relaunch. So our church council had approved plans for a three-step phase of relaunch, and currently we're in step two. And so I want you to know we are discussing and planning and praying about the next step, and that's going to include adding back into our Sunday morning ministry a Sunday school hour. And so we're talking with our kids ministry team about, you know, when we might be ready to do that. And I know many of you are really eager to gather with your core groups again on Sunday mornings. And so I want you to know we are actively making preparations for that. I don't yet know when that will be, but I will sure let you know as we are taking steps forward. I do want to say there also for our core groups, I want to encourage you, consider the ways that you might meaningfully connect this summer, even though we're not yet offering a Sunday school hour. So can you do a Zoom meeting or plan a social or some gathering or event where your core group can get together and spend time together and connect? So that can look like whatever is most meaningful to you and to your people. In fact, August 16th, we are designating that afternoon and evening for our core groups to plan something. So put that date on your calendar. Sunday, August 16th, we'll have ministry here in the morning with our services, but then we're encouraging our core groups to use that afternoon or evening to plan something, to do something. So please take advantage of that. Also, in terms of housekeeping, before we get into the preaching of the word, I just want to give a word of caution and warning about today's sermon content. And that is to say that I do my best to keep our sermons G-rated. but this morning, I will make references to the very sensitive topic of self-harm. And so if you or someone in your family is sensitive to that, I just want to give you a fair warning. It's not going to be graphic in any way, but that mature theme will certainly be included as we study the scriptures this morning. So with that, we're going to kick off our brand new sermon series called Blind Spots. You know, it's when you go to driver's ed that your instructor teaches you about your blind spots. It's out of your peripheral vision. You cannot see it here, but it's not in your side view mirrors. That's your blind spot. And so a vehicle, a car, can be there, and you don't know that they're there. It's the blind spot. And so when you take driver's ed, you'll learn that. And your instructor will tell you, check your blind spots. Check your blind spots. So in the same way, there are people in our lives, people who are hurting, people who have needs. And somehow, some way, we don't see them. That they're in our blind spot. And God wants us to check our blind spot. God wants us to reach out, to love the lonely, to care for those who are needy. That's just what we're going to talk about today. So my name is John. I am thrilled that you are with us. I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. Who are the people that we don't see? We're going to be talking about this for the next several weeks. Who are those people? Who are the ones that we tend not to see? Who's in our blind spot? The people that are lonely, the people that are lost, the people that are the least. And the scriptures tell us that God cares for the lonely. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. That is the heart of God. And that's God's design for each and every one of us, that we would be in loving relationship with others. God made us to be in community, in fellowship, in relationship with one another. Even in the Trinity, as we look at the divine Godhead, we see relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But in our broken world, I don't need to tell you this. People are isolated. People are disconnected from one another. And people feel alone. Now, the reason I said people feel alone, that was very intentional. The reason I said that people feel alone is because we're really never alone. We're really never alone. God is with us. God is everywhere. So we're really never alone, but people feel alone. The Lord says in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you." So the biggest and best solution to the problem of loneliness is very simple. Help people recognize that God is with them. You will never be lonely again. God is with you. And my friends, there are times that we are called then to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be the presence of God in the life of someone else. Like, we are called to befriend others and encourage others and get involved in the lives of others, particularly those who are struggling with loneliness. And this problem of loneliness, it's for all ages, it's for all demographics, it affects all sorts of people. Sometimes we think particularly of the elderly and the aged and widows, and undoubtedly there are struggles with loneliness there. That's the season of life where things have slowed down, like the kids and the grandkids, they're kind of busy. They have their own activities in their own lives. When your spouse dies, and that constant companion of decades is now missing, you struggle with loneliness. And I want to encourage you that God hears the cry of the lonely, that God is with you. God is the great comforter. And that God calls us to bring comfort to others. But again, we're all prone to feeling alone. You can be with other people and feel alone. Sometimes the loneliest place is in a crowd of people. You can sit in a church building such as this and feel alone. You can go to work every day and be around other people and yet feel alone. You can be a stay-at-home mom who's caring for little ones and feel very alone. You can be in a marriage and feel alone. You might be sleeping next to someone and yet you're not connecting. Or maybe you're driven on your career path and you've pursued success and you've pursued your goals and you've poured yourself into your work and you've begun to rise to the top, and yet you don't have anyone in your life that you can truly open up to. You don't have anyone in your life that you can share your struggles, your questions and doubts, your insecurities. You feel alone. And do you know what makes a lonely person feel even more lonely? When people fail to notice them. It's like, kick me when I'm down. I'm lonely. I'm feeling alone. And people are going by. People are around me, but they don't seem to care. That's what makes a lonely person feel even more lonely. That's why, my friends, we're talking about blind spots. Who is in your blind spot? Because when someone goes unnoticed, it can be catastrophic.
I'm your blind spot. And my job is easy. Hide big things.
You're good.
So today we're talking about blind spots and we're talking about lonely people. And I think one reason that sometimes we don't see lonely people who are in our blind spots is because we have a stereotype of who lonely people are. But let me ask you this. When I say lonely people, what is it that pops into your mind? If for some, it's that elderly person sitting in a rocking chair, sitting in a nursing home. For others, it's the homeless person. Well, yeah, that person's all alone. They don't have anybody to depend on. Maybe when I say lonely people, you think of that kid who sits all alone during lunch. Maybe you think of yourself during quarantine. Flashbacks to quarantine. I'm all alone. I'm isolated. Nowhere to go. No one to talk to. One of the most thorough research projects on relational connectedness. It's called the Alameda County Study. It tracked the lives of 7,000 people over the course of 9 years. And then there actually were follow-ups over the course of almost 25 years. Here's what they found. Relationally isolated people were 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. And people with poor health habits, like smoking, overeating, obesity, alcohol abuse, but they had strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had the reverse. Great health habits, but isolated. So scientifically speaking, it's better to eat Twinkies with friends than eat broccoli alone. There's another study done in the Journal of American Medical Association. 276 volunteers were voluntarily infected with a virus. I don't think we'd get that many volunteers in the year 2020. They were voluntarily infected with the virus. It's sort of producing like a common cold situation. This particular study found that people with strong relational connections were 4 times better at fighting off illness than those who were isolated. These people who were relationally connected, they were less susceptible to colds. They produced less mucus than relationally isolated people. I'm not making this up. It's just plain true. Unfriendly people are snottier. Scientific. But there's a dark side when we begin to talk about loneliness and those deep, dark, depressing places that people go. The parents of the young teenager who died by suicide. And they say, we had no idea he was so lonely. We had no idea that he was in such a dark place. There are people suffering from loneliness and isolation, and we just have no idea. We have no clue. You can be seemingly very healthy, very successful. Celebrities, people in the public eye, struggling. In the 2017 Netflix documentary on Lady Gaga, I'm not sure if you know who she is or not, but there's a quote from her. She said this really in confidence to a friend. She said, "I'm alone. Every night. And all these people will leave. They'll leave, and then I'll be alone. And I go from everyone near me all day, talking to me all day, to total silence." Celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain, he had this life of great adventure. He had friends and fine food, and he had remarkable stories of traveling the world. But he felt alone. Robin Williams is regarded as one of the funniest and most well-loved comedians of all time. How many millions of adoring fans? And he felt alone. He felt depressed. And when he died, everyone was shocked. Not Robin Williams. Not the funny guy. Nobody saw it coming. Why? Because he was in their blind spot. But I don't want to leave us in a place of depression today. And so we're going to turn to the scriptures. And thank you, Robin, for reading for us from Acts chapter 8. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to see a story here with Philip and the Ethiopian official, where someone decides to love the lonely. Where through the Spirit of God, Philip checks his blind spot and a life is transformed. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. Now, I'll let you know that Philip was one of the leaders of the early church. And he had a relationship with God, and God tells him to go on a particular stretch of road that led south of Jerusalem. And God doesn't tell him why he's sending him. He just tells him to go. And Philip obeys. So Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Angel of the Lord says to Philip, "Go south to the road, desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. He obeyed. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit tells Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So he's walking in obedience. Here's the story. Is Philip, sensitive to the leading of God, "Go on that road." "Okay, Lord." And he goes. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know his mission. He doesn't know his assignment. "Go to that chariot." "Okay, Lord." And he goes. So he sees this particular Ethiopian guy. He's in the chariot. He's going south. Basically, makes sense. He's going home. And the scriptures tell us there, he's a high-ranking government official. He's in charge of the royal treasury. He's like Keith here at MCA. In charge of our royal treasury. He's a big shot. He's got lots of clout, lots of money, lots of influence. He's the last guy in the world that any of us would say is lonely. You don't look at this guy and think lonely. You think, man, he's got it made. So God prompts Philip to go over to his chariot, and he obeys. Now, Philip is an ordinary guy. He's not a VIP like the Ethiopian. So under normal circumstances, you can't envision Philip just going up to this guy. A VIP from a different nation, and yet he does it anyway. And look what happens. So we're in Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he says, "unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So here's the scene. Important person, government official, but he's got nobody to talk to. He can't share with anyone what's actually going on in his life, the questions he has, the seeking, the longing. He's interested in spiritual stuff, my friends. It said that he had gone to Jerusalem for what reason? Somebody help me. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And now he's looking at the Bible. He's reading this passage of Scripture. So verse 32. This is the passage of Scripture he was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." These are the words of Isaiah 53, and they're words about Jesus. But he doesn't know that. And he asks Philip, "Who's this talking about?" Verse 34, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The important, big shot, official kind of guy. The one who is spiritually searching. And yet, he's got nobody in his life. And he wants to know about God. He wants someone to show him the way. But he's in people's blind spot. And so God used Philip. God directed Philip. Go on that road. Go to that chariot. And Philip then is positioned for sharing the life-giving power of Jesus. What a beautiful thing. What a challenge for you and I, that God would use us in the exact same way. And this guy's life is changed. It's transformed. He can't wait even to get baptized, right? That's how the story then ends, verse 36. They travel along the road. They came to some water. The eunuch says, "Look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders, "Stop the chariot." And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. By the way, we have baptisms happening here next Sunday. I'm excited. I hope you'll be here for that. Can't wait. But right here on the side of the road, along this journey, hey, there's a pond. Let's go. This guy's excited. He becomes a Christ follower. He responds in faith to the good news of Jesus. He enters the waters of baptism. He celebrates that God has washed away his sins, all because Philip noticed him. Because he checked his blind spot. He listened to the promptings of God, and he noticed someone who he might otherwise have overlooked. Do you think the Lord ever places you somewhere to share the good news with someone? Do you think that the Lord ever puts someone in your life, in your path, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your workplace that might be lonely and isolated and prompts you to notice them and to very simply, very humbly reach out to them? See, this wasn't a situation of, "Hey, Ethiopian, you're going to hell. Get back here and let me shove the scriptures down your throat." This was, "I'm going to come alongside you, and I see that you're searching and you're curious. Who's in your blind spot?" And again, I want to help us as we go through this series to think it's not the obvious person. Who's in your blind spot? It's maybe not that stereotypical lonely person. Maybe it's your boss. Have you ever thought about that? Do you ever think of him or her as lonely? Maybe it's your mom or dad. Could be a classmate, could be a neighbor, could be a friend, could be a family member. You might live under the same roof. could be a community leader. On Friday, this community lost one. It's been said that there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human. It cannot be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God. It's the void. Nothing else can fill. And some of you have tried. I should say some of us. But I want to tell you right here, right now, it's like when grades won't fill it, Jesus will. Girlfriends won't fill it. Money and success and fame and power, those things leave you feeling lonely. It is only a never-ending, life-transforming, hope-infusing, joy-overwhelming relationship with Jesus that will fill that void. And unless you have Christ in your life, you will be susceptible to loneliness. See, Philip knew the good news. Philip knew that this Ethiopian needed one thing and one thing only in his life. And so he shared it with him. And how often do we see with worldly eyes? What could that guy possibly need? You know, Philip could have easily said, that guy doesn't need anything. I wish I were him. No, but he saw with spiritual eyes. He listened to the promptings of the Spirit of God. And so what did Philip do? He loved the lonely. And that's the challenge for us as well. Will we love the lonely? Man, I recall a season in my life where I was lonely. My family moved to a new town. I was about 13 years old. I didn't know anybody there. And I'm the youngest in my family, and my siblings grew up and began to move away, and almost all of them had left the house. And then my dad got sick, and he was in the hospital for over 40 days. And our house was quiet for the first time in my entire life. And I was lonely. We had stayed connected at our old church in our old town, which was over an hour away. So I didn't have a friend in church or in our new community. We drove every Sunday morning. We would drive over an hour back and attend service there. And I remember the evening that a kid called me. I was on the basketball team, and he was one of my teammates, and he called me. And he said, hey, just want to see if you want to go see a movie. And all of a sudden, my life changed. like someone noticed me. I'm not alone. Someone cared for me. This was before like a true spiritual awakening in my life too, before a vibrant relationship with Jesus. And I think about that. I remember that from decades ago. Why? Because it was one simple act of kindness, and it made such a difference in my life. One person who noticed, who checked his blind spot. And friends, we should do the exact same thing. So here's what I'd like to do with the rest of our time together. I want to share two ways for us to love the lonely, check our blind spot, and act radically as the Spirit of God leads us. Two ways we can love the lonely. The first is by tuning in. Here's what I've noticed is, most of us operate in a way that even when we're having a conversation with someone, we're really not so much as listening what they're saying, but we're formulating what we're going to say. Anybody else guilty of that? You're having a face-to-face conversation, and the other person is talking, and instead of actually listening to the content and the emotion and the substance of what's being communicated to you, you immediately go to this place of, well, I could share this story. Well, I could share this great insight. I have this really witty comeback. You begin to formulate what you're going to say. And I'm convicted by that. Oh, that we would listen. Tune in to the words being said, the body language being displayed, the emotions, and yes, even the spiritual state of the one in front of us. This is what Philip did. He leaned in. He tuned in to what the Ethiopian was saying. He took notice of the scriptures that he was reading. Whoa, did you hear that? Do you understand what that means? He tuned in. He leaned into what was happening. You know, Jesus was also a great listener. Jesus did this exact same thing. There's this amazing story in Luke chapter 24. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, but no one knows that he had risen. He's on the road to Emmaus, and he joins two guys as they walk along. You know the story. These two guys are feeling lonely and depressed because of the death of Jesus. They think Jesus is dead. And so Jesus comes alongside these two guys, and he asks them what they're talking about. And they basically respond with, "Are you kidding? You don't know? You must be the only person in Jerusalem that's unaware of what has happened." I mean, it's kind of insulting. And Jesus says, "Would you tell me more?" Jesus says to them, "What things are you talking about? Tell me about it." Now, guys, this is a hilarious scene because, of course, Jesus knows. He doesn't have to ask these two guys on the road to Emmaus, "Tell me what happened." Of course, Jesus knows. These guys don't even realize that it's Jesus they're talking to. This is like an episode of Undercover Boss. And if you've seen that program, you know there are some scenes where we're talking, this is the CEO of the company, and he's having dialogue with an hourly wage employee going, "So tell me about corporate. Tell me what they're thinking. Tell me what they do," right? I mean, this is a hilarious scene where Jesus is asking these two guys who know nothing to tell them. He could have responded very differently. Why didn't he just say, "It's me, you knuckleheads"? Well, he could have solved their pain. They were lonely. He could have said, "You don't have to be lonely." No. He was modeling for us the art of tuning in. Jesus did this so well. He listened. He saw the person who was in front of him. He saw the people who exist in our blind spots. And we live in a world where people need to know that we're listening. People need to know that we are tuning in. Listening is becoming a lost art. Like when Rachel says, "Were you even listening to me?" And I'm like, "That's a really weird way to start a conversation, honey." How refreshing it is when someone tunes in. When someone hears you, when someone sees you, when someone cares. When someone cares enough to say, "How can I pray for you?" When someone cares enough to say, "Would you tell me your story? Would you tell me what's happening in your life?" But that takes time, doesn't it? And that's our second point this morning. How do we love the lonely? By tuning in, but we also love with our time. You know, Philip could have said, "God sent me on a mission. I got to go south on this road." He could have zipped by the Ethiopian official without even noticing him. Or our Lord Jesus, who did love with his time. Man, his ministry was only about 3.5 years. And it was a busy 3.5 years. He was traveling, he was healing, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was doing miracles. But he also showed people he loved them by giving them his time. There's a story in Luke chapter 5. Jesus is teaching in a town, and it's a town that he had not yet been to. And he's in a house, and a huge crowd of people presses in and gathers around, and they're listening to him. There are even some Pharisees that are present. And four guys get wind of the fact that Jesus is in town. Here's our opportunity. Well, more specifically, here's our friend's opportunity. So this is This is Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. This is a big crowd of people. And these are some of the important people. Like, yeah, they could use the message that Jesus has prepared for them. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could find no way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And after an exchange with the Pharisees, Jesus heals the man. The guy picks up his mat, he walks home. What's interesting to note, though, is what's not there. It doesn't say, "And then Jesus resumed his teaching. And then Jesus finished the sermon. And then Jesus got right back to where he was." It doesn't say that. We don't know if Jesus ever finished this lesson after the interruption. And I'm like, did he get to the final point in his sermon? Did he get to show the catchy video clip? Did he get to use his PowerPoint? This was an interruption. It could have been seen as annoying, frustrating. Jesus could have said, "Do you see? I've got all the people here that need to hear this message. They've gathered from all over the countryside, and they're here." But no, what did he do? He looked at the man, he saw the man, and he gave the man his time. He offers the man forgiveness and healing. Yeah, so Jesus had gone there because he was invited there to teach. He was invited there because he had a preaching assignment. But did you notice what verse 17 said? Look back there again. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to what? Preach a really good sermon? To open the eyes of the Pharisees to explain the law? No, no, no. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. See, maybe he'd been invited into that place. "Hey, we want you here because we know you can teach. We want you to preach a sermon." But the Lord had placed him there for a different purpose. The Lord had placed him there to heal that man. And so our Lord gave him his time because that was the assignment. That was what the Lord wanted him to do. So friends, would we do the same thing? Would we love people by giving them our time? This is one of the best ways you can show your love to others. We're so busy. We fill our lives and our schedules and our calendars so full, it's like, I don't have time. It's one of our most precious commodities. And when we bless others by giving them our time, we take them out of the blind spot. I'm just afraid as a culture, we're so bombarded with what seems urgent that we fill our lives with those things. And then there's no time left for what's important. Don't let the urgent crowd out the important. We love people. And so we love them with our time. We love by tuning in to their needs and to their loneliness and to their situation. We love the lonely. Oh, that God would give us eyes to see those who are in our blind spots and then give us a heart to care about them. Of course, this begs the question today as we close our time. What if it's you? What if you are the one who feels alone? Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you more loudly than my words. That you are known. That you are loved. That you're not in the blind spot of God. You're not in our blind spot either. So here at MCA, God has given us one another. Through the ups and downs. We may be difficult at times, but we've got each other. And so let's notice one another and care for one another and love the lonely. So I want you to hear that this morning, that you are loved. You are loved by God. You are loved by us. God designed you for a relationship with them. Not just head knowledge about God, but a vibrant relationship with Him. And when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He invites you into a life with Him, an eternal life with Him. So I want to close this morning by reading Isaiah 41, and I want to speak this over you and speak this over your heart, particularly those of you who feel alone. I referenced it earlier in the sermon. I'm going to read it again from Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for the Lord is with you. The Lord says, do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You may feel alone, my friend, but you are not alone. God is closer than you think. The scripture says, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God has promised us over and over and over again that He will always be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, even in our loneliest moments. Deuteronomy 31:89 says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. God comforts those in need. And church, He calls us to love the lonely, to care for those who are in need, to show love by tuning in and lending our time. So may we check our blind spots and respond with the love of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us and never leaves us. And so, Lord, we would pray and plead with you, would you help us to check our blind spots? Would you help us to notice, and Lord, would you give us hearts to care? That we wouldn't see catastrophic results of depression and loneliness and isolation, but we would see vibrant transformation in the context of Christian community centered on our Lord Jesus, doing life together on a mission for you, God. We pray we would do this and accomplish all that you have in mind, that it would be for your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.